Welcome to Reading the Bible Together podcast. I'm your host, Angela Smith.
When I think about joy, I think about Philippians a lot. You know, Paul wrote Philippians where? Well, he wrote Philippians while he was sitting in jail, right? Right. He was in this spot where we can say, well, by any earthly measure, he should not have been a happy person at that point. And yet here Paul is saying, well, rejoice. And he's urging us to rejoice.
This week, we're talking about Advent joy, and I am so grateful. You know, we're here at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, and it's always a privilege when we get to partner with our coworkers over on the other side across the street. So today with me, I have Darren Geyer. He is the Director of Spiritual Formation Programs and Student Life, which means that one of the parts of his job, one of his responsibilities, is being over chapel that the students go to. So I'm so excited to welcome you today. Welcome, Darren.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about joy. I love Advent. Is Advent something that you practiced growing up, or you practice now?
Yes. So Advent was a big part of my childhood. I grew up in a church that celebrated Advent with an Advent wreath and other things. And to me, that was such a marker of the importance of it. You know what I mean? Just the fact that there was this anticipation, this buildup for what we, of course, knew was Christmas. But before Christmas, there was this kind of important work to do, this important acknowledgement to be made. So yeah, I loved the Advent wreath and the lighting of the candles and even now, yeah. So Advent is a part of my life and my family's life now at church and for us as a family as well. So,
and it's different, isn't it, when you're the parent? I've got two boys, and bringing them up and really wanting Christmas to be a time that was meaningful and purposeful. Like the celebration and all of the fun cultural kinds of things are great, but to really have purpose in the season.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we've loved incorporating that into the rhythms of our family for sure. We're big fans of the Jesus Storybook Bible, and they've put out some really good resources that accompany that Bible for Advent, and those have been great, especially for our younger ones. So
nice.
Yeah.
And then, what's your favorite Christmas tradition? If there's something different than Advent, you know, either from childhood or now.
Yeah, I think both as a child and now, one of my favorite things is the nativity scene. Mm. So I remember when I was a kid, I loved when that nativity set came out of the box and we set it under the tree, and I would just spend, I remember hours just on my tummy, like staring at this scene. And I kind of had the same energy of imagination that I did when I played with action figures or something like that. You know what I mean? Like it just came alive in my mind about how that happened and what happened and the beauty of it all. And so I've always loved the nativity scenes. And so for us now too, our family puts out a couple. One of them is the little people nativity scene
that
the kids play with, and we try to not lose any of the pieces and get it mixed up with Superman and Batman. But those sometimes find a place in our nativity scene too. You got Batman hanging out with the shepherds, and it's a pretty good time. So
yeah, I always appreciate. I love nativity scenes as well. Mm-hmm. And my husband had gone to Haiti. And one of the things that he got when he was there was a Haitian nativity scene. And I thought it's so interesting to look at different cultural interpretations of nativity scenes, too.
I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Very cool. Okay, so I think to start out, let's define, or at least differentiate between happy and joy.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define those, or point out the differences in those two words?
Right. Yeah. I think joy is more enduring. It's more everlasting, and we see this transcendence of circumstance almost, I think, and as we see it described and defined in Scripture. And happiness, you know, happiness has a role to play within Scripture as well. We see that word too. But to me, I think our culture has grasped onto the word happiness and given it meaning that the biblical concept really didn't intend to give it. I think joy is importantly the distinction there is that it's it abides. Joy abides regardless of our circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great differentiation. Yeah, I had started out looking at looking up the definitions of the words, and mm-hmm. they were so similar. But happiness feels like surfacey to me,
right?
Where joy is almost like a state of your soul.
Yes.
And I think what you're saying too about in the given, that it's our circumstances don't affect the state of the joy that's within our soul.
For sure.
To not have to do that.
You know, I often think of happiness. I think of the money we spend on the things that we own, and how happiness can kind of come from a result of possessions, but joy really is that deeper abiding thing. I recently went camping with one of my sons, and we just had the best time. And I just remember sitting there. We were up on the North Shore here in Minnesota, and of Lake Superior, and it was just a fantastic day. We spent the Saturday all day with no schedule, no agenda, and he and I just walked up and down the river. We walked across these stones, and we had so much fun, and it was just an abiding joy. I just remember thinking it was this is what joy means. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was just so great. So
that's so good. That's one of my favorite places too.
For sure,
up on the North Shore,
it's gorgeous.
So let's take a look at the study guide and how the study guide is kind of walking through joy. And for those of you that don't yet have the study guide, you can head over to myfaithradio.com and sign up and get your own copy of that as well. So some of the points that they're making is that joy is God-given. And the verse is Romans 15:13. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have any thoughts about that one?
Yeah, I love this passage, Romans 15:13. To me, I'm struck by the connection here with these other themes of Advent, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You have joy and you have
hope. And
you
peace.
Have hope, right? And peace. And to me, the key idea here is trust. I think in order to have joy, I think you have to trust. You have to trust in our Heavenly Father, and so that comes to light here in Romans 15 as well. We see that with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And I think, I know for me in my life, that's proven true. The more I trust in God, the more joy that I have, even in painful, challenging circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, not to say that it's not hard.
For sure.
That the experience isn't hard, but trusting the Lord in the midst of it.
Yes.
And really, you know, this is something I've been thinking about lately, even in prayer, which for me has, you know, it's been kind of challenging, you know, when you pray, because my mom died 14 years ago of cancer. So, of course, we're praying for healing. Mm-hmm. And then you're asking for a specific thing, big thing,
yep.
And that doesn't happen. And how can you trust and have joy in the midst of that while you're still having pain? And it feels like, and I'm going to try really hard to put words to this, that it's maybe I'm not going to do well putting words to it, but it's letting go of, you know, praying and telling God what you really want and pouring your heart out to him, mm-hmm. but really leaving the result to him.
Yes.
And that trust, that surrender is what he's calling us to do, really is the best thing to do and is a really hard thing to do.
That's true. I've experienced similar things with the passing of my father, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you have a hoped for result. And part of that trust, yes, is trusting God with whatever may come to be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm going to jump down because I feel like trust and there's a big correlation between trust and obedience. And one of the points is that joy comes through obedience. And it's John 15:10-11. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Any thoughts about that one?
I love John 15 so much. this whole concept of abiding in Christ and him abiding in us, I think it's just an important cornerstone of our faith. The fact that we're nothing without Christ, and he offers us his very presence abiding in us and invites us to abide in him. And so I love John 15, and to hear this again today, to like, my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. I think it kind of it really does encapsulate, okay, so if you're abiding in Christ, then okay, this is the end result, right? Like joy is going to be there for the taking and the experiencing. And I just think that's a fantastic truth.
Mm-hmm. To kind of go back to what we were talking about with the, with trust, that, yep, that feels like, although there is an action to trust, but that obedience of feels like putting to action the trust that you have in the Lord, that you will be obedient to what he's calling you to do. And, you know, I think it's easy to, because when you were talking about, you know, Jesus abiding in him, that he is in us, I think it's easy to oh yeah, he's in us. Mm. Like the power of Jesus that raised him from the dead is within us, that we have that power. And I think often that's something that we gloss over easily, you know,
yeah,
it's, it just becomes like a soundbite versus really stopping and going, what is that? Wow. What yeah, does that mean? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that has so much to do with how we approach our life with Christ, right? Like it's all about spiritual formation
which is what you're all about in your job.
It's in my title. Yeah, it's in the title. It's in the title of my job, the Director of Spiritual Formation Programs. For sure. I think we strive so hard and we try to check all the boxes and we try to obey. Sometimes we get in the trap. I know I have. We fall into the trap of obeying for the sake of, like I said, just it's checking off the box. Whereas really our aim, our focus, our goal should be first of abiding in Christ.
Like and
the being
with him, not having to do something,
yes,
but to just be. I say that as someone who wants to do. Like I always say, yeah, if you could just tell me what I need to do, mm-hmm, to be, that would be great.
Yep.
But it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it'd be easier, right? It'd be, mm-hmm, quicker.
Yeah, so that abiding is so important. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording about kind of looking into some of the Greek words, mm-hmm, that mean joy and rejoicing. What did you find when you were looking through that? Because I know you had mentioned that you're looking a little bit too at the difference between kind of joy and rejoice.
Yeah, yeah. So I you know, you look in... you look throughout the New Testament, you see the word joy, you see the word rejoice, and I wondered if those words in Greek were similar to the way
like
they're
the same root word.
Yeah, it's kind of rendered in English. In English, we can tell there's a connection there because they have the same root. But in Greek, they do as well. Rejoice in kairo in Greek, and joy in Greek is kara. Same root word in English. And what I found was fascinating was that these words also share a root with the word grace. Charis.
Oh, charis, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that says something very important about what joy is. You know, first of all, joy and rejoice. You have a noun and you have a verb. And so joy is something that you have, but joy is also something that you do, right? Mm-hmm. And then the fact that these are connected with the word grace and this concept of God's gift to us, I think says something important about really where does joy come from and how is it lived out in our lives.
That's so good. Yeah, when I looked at Kara, it was cheerfulness, and it said calm delight and gladness.
Mm, yes.
And that calm delight really stuck out to me of like a state of being, that, mm-hmm, that you have this calm delight, that you are... I really appreciate what you said about it being a noun and a verb, about something that we have and something that we express or something that we do.
Right.
I think that's an important, and I also nerded out a little hard and I looked at it because I wanted to know, you know, what was a Hebrew word, and it was hedva, rejoicing, mm-hmm, gladness, and joy. And we find that in Nehemiah and First Chronicles. And the Nehemiah one is the one that might be familiar. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Which, wow, if you like, is your strength, like the joy of the Lord is your strength, which I love that you tied that to grace too, God's grace. And yeah, I have lots of thoughts swirling in my head right now. That's really, really good. So what else has stood out to you in the, you know, either from the study guide or from what you were looking at in joy, about joy, about biblical joy?
Yep. I love when I think about joy, I think about Philippians a lot. You know, Paul wrote Philippians where? Well, he wrote Philippians while he was sitting in jail, right? Right. He was in this spot where we can say, well, by any earthly measure, he should not have been a happy person at that point. And yet,
right,
Paul,
when you
tells
look at circumstances,
exactly,
your circumstances not affecting what you have. Mm-hmm.
For sure. And here Paul is saying, well, you know, rejoice, and he's urging us to rejoice. I think about Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, right? I say it again, rejoice. A little bit later down in that verse, I think it says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and your minds. So there's this really strong connection. I think it's important for us to take pay attention to that our joy is going to bring about peace. And there's that connection again with another Advent word, but that joy is going to produce peace, and that peace that transcends understanding is going to guard not only our minds, but it's going to guard our hearts as well. It's going to guard our thoughts and our emotions.
Have you had an experience like that where, you know, like right now I have a friend who was diagnosed with Lyme, and they're trying to get treatment and figure out what's going on. And they keep talking about that they are experiencing peace, even though they don't know what's going to happen. Has there been a time in your life where you've had that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard time for all of us 3 years ago when COVID was at its height. And, you know, my family and I and everybody around us, we didn't quite know what to do. We didn't quite know how to handle it or how to react or how to relate to our friends and family, right? And that was really hard. And I think for me, it just really was important to remember that, you know, God's got this. And so there were such... even though we were homeschooling our kids, you know, against our own will and all that kind of thing. It was hard. It was hard. But there was a peace. There was a peace in it. I mean, I think part of that was, I think that kind of looked like God guarding our hearts and our minds. I think we were able to have beautiful family time together. We were able to do some things that we, didn't make time to do, and so for me, it was, I think about that time when I think about the joy of the Lord producing peace. Because truly, that was a tumultuous journey for all of us. And
for the whole world.
And so that is something that that Christ was faithful in our lives and into demonstrating that peace.
That's so good. And so relatable to everybody, because we all went through that. We all walked through that. Mm. I want to make sure that we talk about Zephaniah 3:17 too. Do you have that in front of you? Could you read that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I just love that.
Yeah. It makes me think of in Song of Solomon and Song of Solomon 2:4, where it talks about his banner of love over us and him rejoicing over us. And in the study guide, the question is, what does it mean to have God in your midst? And do you believe that God of the universe rejoices over you? Why or why not? Do you want to go first, or do you want me to answer it first?
Oh man. The fact that he is in our midst, I think that goes back to me. That goes back, and it conjures up pictures of John 15, right? That abiding that he does with us, and his invitation for us to abide in him, and of course, his presence with us is going to produce joy. It just is, especially if we're attentive. You know, if our God antenna is up and we're receptive, we're going to notice his presence in our midst. And I think that's a key part of the Christian life is noticing his presence with us. And I love this part where it says he rejoices over us with singing. And this gets me thinking. Like I'm just puzzled by this on some degree, because how can it be that the God of the universe rejoices over me with singing? And I think about Psalm 139, where David kind of gets into something similar. And there's some fun interplay, I think, between translations of scripture here. But in the NIV, David in Psalm 139, verse 17, he says, "How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them." But there's a footnote there, and it says that It can also be translated, "How amazing are your thoughts concerning me?"
Mm.
You know, and then the New Living Translation, which I'm a fan of, it just says it. It says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered." And so probably there's some scholarly debate about whether that's, you know, is it, are we talking about God's thoughts about me, or are we talking about my thoughts about God? And I just think either way, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But just to even entertain the idea that God's thoughts about me are precious. That's a humbling and life-giving sort of thing to contemplate.
What it makes me, so I'm an alum of Northwestern, mm-hmm. and in chapel one time we had Dave Busby. I think he's gone to be with the Lord since then. But he talked about sitting, if we sat knee to knee, toe to toe, face to face with Jesus, what is it that he sees?
Wow.
And it even, it makes me get teary now, even mm-hmm. thinking about it, because I know the state of my heart. Like, I know all of my yes. faults and all of the ways that, even though I'm redeemed, that I still have sin, I still sin, and yet the Lord rejoices over me. And so that when I'm sitting knee to knee, toe to toe, eye to eye with Jesus, his thoughts
yes.
about me, he's rejoicing over me, he sings over me, he has a banner of love over me, that can feel really, really overwhelming.
Mm.
And you know, when you think about God in our midst, that's the kind of God that's in our midst. That's the kind of God that's with us no matter what's happening.
Yes.
And that's humbling and encouraging, and is, I think, what helps us take, even when we're in hard circumstances, to put one foot in front of the other and to continue to move forward, because we know we're not alone, and the God that is with us is singing and rejoicing over us is amazing and humbling.
Yep, that is.
Is there anything else that you want to make sure we talk about before we wrap up about joy?
You know, when I was thinking about joy, I got this image in my head of one of my favorite Christmas movies, mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life. And there's this part where George Bailey is, he's just kind of come out of his funk, right? And you just see the joy, and you see him running through the streets of Bedford Falls. He goes, "Hello, Bedford Falls, Merry Christmas." And, to me,
that's a good imitation.
That was just such a good, you know, because we know in that movie, if you've seen it, George Bailey goes through some stuff, and his circumstances aren't what we would maybe grasp for in this world, but he realizes the more important thing, and now he's running through the streets and saying Merry Christmas to everybody. And I just think that to me was a reminder of, as I think about that scene in that movie, a reminder that we have so much to be thankful for and to have joy about. So so I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm excited for Christmas time, mm-hmm. and Christmas movies, and we're in this season, and hopefully you'll get a chance to watch some of those favorite movies. But
yeah, I'm going to bounce off of your It's a Wonderful Life,
yeah.
because one of the things that had just been something that had a little annoyance that you kept, you see, like, getting at him, is there's a finial, like a knob at the bottom of the stairs, and it's not fully attached.
Oh, right. Yes.
And so every time he walks by, it comes off, and he's like, "Oh," and he wants to slam it down. And when he comes back, he grabs it, and it comes out just like it always does.
Yes.
And he kisses it.
Yes.
Before he puts it back in place. And so the source of, like, you know, like bugs flying in your face,
yeah.
you know, a gnat, you know, something that is just had been so bothersome, he realizes that even that is precious, and kisses it before he puts it back.
It's so good.
And that, so bouncing off of, like, that is joy. Like, mm-hmm. no matter what the circumstance, like, we can be cheerful. We can be glad. We can be thankful, even in the midst of all of those things going on around us.
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I appreciate being here. It's great.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation about Advent joy. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
The Reading the Bible Together podcast is a production of Faith Radio and Northwestern Media. Hosted, produced, and edited by Angela Smith. If you've enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more, consider financially supporting Faith Radio. Find more information at myfaithradio.com.